Shmuel Bet Perek Avalef. We're about to begin the final section of Sefer Shmuel. The last four perakim contain an epilogue of six units, which will give us an overview of the life of David. Once again, these units are formed in a chiastic structure, and they will highlight for us the special qualities of David. The first unit records a sin of Shaul, and the last unit a sin of David. In both, David does what's necessary to bring about kapara. Those sins in the fixing of David form the outer frame of our chiasm. One level in, the second and fifth units are about the warriors of David. And in the center, the third and fourth units contain Shirat David and David's last words, two beautiful expressions by David. Perek Kaf Aleph contains the first two of these six units. The first unit is about a famine in the land in the time of David, which happens because Shaul's killed the Givonim. The Givonim and our Perek are looking for revenge from Shaul's family. Before we begin the Perek, we're going to review some background information which comes into play in our Perek. In Sefer Yehoshua, the Givonim deceived Bnei Israel by dressing up as if they came from a distant land, and Yehoshua made a covenant with them, promising not to kill them. When their true identity became known, the princes of Israel did not allow them to break the promise. They told them, in Yehoshua, Perek Tet Pasuk Kaf, Ve'lo yeh alanu ketzef al ha-shavua asher nishbanu lahem. They didn't want the anger of God to be against them because of the swear that they swore to them. These Givonim became the workers, the woodcutters, and the water carriers for the Mishkan and later for the Beit HaMikdash. Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Tet Pasuk Yitzayin, tells us that Be'erot is one of those four cities, the Givoni cities, that Israel came to when they were conquering Eretz Israel. So this association tells us Be'erotim equals Givonim. Okay, that's going to come into play later on. In Shmuel Bet, Perek Dalet, Ish Boshet, the son of Shaul, was killed by two officers of Shaul, if you remember, Rechev and Ba'ana, the sons of Rimon HaBe'eroti. That same Perek told us in a parenthetical statement that the Be'erotim, who we saw from Sefer Yehoshua, are the Givonim, ran away to Gat. We didn't have any indication of Shaul afflicting these Be'erotim, but we see that they ran away to Gat. We're not told why. We know that Gat is Shaul's enemy, and David escaped to Gat when he was being oppressed by Shaul. So it's possible that these Be'erotim also ran from Shaul to Gat, to the enemy's territory, at some point in time when they were oppressed by Shaul. Now, in Perek Kaf Aleph, the hostility of the Givonim for Shaul is recorded, but we're not given the reason for their hostility. The Perek has seven sections. It begins with a famine in the land because of Shaul's sin. The first section is half a pasuk long. Vayira'av b'yimei David shalosh shanim shana acharei shana vayivakesh David et penei Adonai. And there was a famine in the land of David 3 years, year after year, and David asked for the face of God. He looked for God for a reason. And then we have a parashah sutuma in the middle of a pasuk while David waits for an answer from God. The next section, from the middle of pasuk aleph till the middle of pasuk vav, we have Hashem answering, Vayomar Adonai el Shaul, ve'el bet hadamim, al asher hemit et hagivonim. And God said, it is for Shaul and for his bloody house, because he killed the Givonim. We were never told about Shaul killing the Givonim. The Gemara states that when Shaul destroyed Nov, the city of Kohanim, the Givonim, who were the water drawers in the Mishkan, lost their source of income, and it was as if they were also killed. It may be at that point, or some other time, it could be when the Be'erotim, who were Givonim, escaped to Gat in fear of Shaul. We're not told when, but we know at some point, Shaul killed the Givonim. Vayikra ha-melech la-Givonim, vayomer alehem, v'ha-Givonim lo mi-b'nei Yisrael hema, ki me-yeter ha-emori, u-b'nei Yisrael nishbe'u lahem, v'yivakesh Shaul le-hakotam, bekanoto le-b'nei Yisrael v'yehuda. And the king called to the Givonim, and he said to them, now instead of the pasuk telling us what David said, we have a parenthetical statement providing us with the background information about the Givonim. The Givonim were not of the children of Yisrael. rather the remnants of the Emorim. Emorim is actually a generic name for any of the Kena'ani nations. And the children of Yisrael had sworn to them. And Shaul wanted to kill them in his zealousness for the children of Yisrael and Yehuda. Here we're told that Shaul did want to kill them. And now we go back to the words of David. Vayomer David el ha-givonim, Ma e'ese lachem u'bema e'chaper u'varechu et nachalat Adonai. And David said to the Givonim, what can I do for you and how can I make atonement and bring the blessing to the inheritance of God? David wants to fix the wrong that was done in order to bring rain upon the earth. Remember, they're in the middle of a 3-year drought. Vayomeru lo ha-givonim, en lanu kesef ve-zahav im Shaul ve-im beto, ve-en lanu ish lehamit be-Yisrael. Vayomer, ma atem omerim e-ese lachem. And the Givonim said to him, it's not a matter of silver or gold between us and Shaul or his house, his family. They don't want money from the house of Bet Shaul. And we don't have anyone to kill in Yisrael. There's a distinction in their statement between Bet Shaul and Yisrael. It's not a monetary issue with the house of Shaul, and it's not about killing a man and the rest of Yisrael. As we go on, we're going to see that it is about killing men from Bet Shaul. And he said, whatever you say, I will do for you. ויאמרו אל המלך, האיש אשר קילנו ואשר דימה לנו נשמדנו מהתייצב בכל גבול ישראל. And they said to the king, the man that destroyed us, they're not even calling Shaul by name. And they say, and the one that planned our destruction from remaining in any of the boundaries of Israel. Remember, we saw the Be'erotim running away from to Gat outside the boundaries of Israel. It's possible that they are the ones that are speaking now. Yuten lanu shiv'a anashim mibanav v'hoke'anum l'Adonai b'giv'at Shaul b'chir Adonai. They said, give us 7 of his men and we will hang them to God in Giv'at Shaul, the chosen of God. Here the Givonim told David they want to hang 7 descendants of Shaul, the chosen of God. Shaul is called Bechir Yisrael, Bechir Hashem. And they're saying they want to hang them in Giv'at Shaul, Shaul's hometown. And this is shocking. We have a pause in the middle of the Pasuk, possibly because David does not know what to do, how to respond to such a request. And possibly because he's waiting for an answer from God, for a direction. The next section, the middle of Pasuk Vav to Pasuk Yudalid, we have David acceding to the request of the Givonim. Vayomer HaMelech, Ani Eten. And the king said, I will give. Vayechmol HaMelech al Mephiboshet ben Yehonatan ben Shaul, al Shavuat Adonai Asher benotam ben David ben Yehonatan ben Shaul. And the king had compassion on Mephibosheth, the son of Yehonatan, the son of Shaul, because of the promise of God that was between them, between David and Yehonatan, the son of Shaul. That we saw in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Kaf. Vayikach ha-melech et shenev b'ned et zpav v'ataya, asher yaleda l'Shaul et armoni v'et Mephibosheth, v'et chameshet b'ne michal bat Shaul, asher yaleda l'Adriel ben Barzilai ha-mecholati. And the king took the 2 sons of Ritzpah bat Ayah that she bore to Shaul, Armoni and Mephibosheth. This is not Mephibosheth, the son of Yehonatan, rather Mephibosheth, the son of Ritzpah bat Ayah. She was the concubine of Shaul that we met during the argument between Avner ben Ner and Ishboshet in Shmuel Bet Perek Gimel. David took her 2 sons and the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Shaul, who she bore to Adriel, the son of Barzilai HaMecholati. This pasuk is very confusing. Merav, not Michal, was married to Adriel. We saw that in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yurchet, Pasuk Yutet. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yutet Amud Bet, says that they were called in her name because Michal raised them. Or we could look at the pasuk and say it's really referring to Merav's sons, not Michal's. But whatever the reason is, the reference to Michal right over here seems to be placed to contrast the compassion that David had for Mephibosheth, the son of Yehonatan, in the previous pasuk. David did not have the same compassion for the sons of Michal. The sever with Michal was final, while the bond with Yehonatan endured. Vayitenem beyat givonim, vayokium behar lifnei Adonai, vayipelu shivatam yachad, vehema humetu beimeh ketzir barishonim, batchilat ketzir seorim. And he delivered them into the hands of the Givonim, and they hanged them in the mountains before God, and they fell all seven together, and they were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days at the beginning of the barley harvest. These seven descendants of Shaul were hung during the barley harvest. It's in the springtime, around Pesach time. Vatikach ritzpa bataya et hasak, vatatehu lah el hatzur, mitchilat ketzir ad netach maim alehem min hashamayim, velo netana of hashamayim lanuach alehem yomam, veet chayat hasade laila. And Ritzpah bat Ayah took sackcloth and spread it for herself on a rock from the beginning of harvest until water poured on them from the sky. In Eretz Yisrael, there's no rainfall between Pesach and Sukkot. Ritzpah bat Ayah sat by the bodies from the time of the barley harvest, which is Pesach time, until rain fell upon them, either 6 months later after Sukkot, or the rain fell early during the harvest time, when rain is usually not considered a blessing, but here it can be seen as a reprieve from the drought. She didn't allow the birds of the sky to rest on them by day, or the beasts of the field by night. Non-Jewish nations would hang a body and have the birds and beasts devour the flesh to desecrate the bodies. This is what the Pelishtim intended when they hung the bodies of Shaul and his sons, and it was the intentions of the Givonim when they hung these seven descendants of Shaul. This goes totally against what were commanded in Devarim Perek Kaf Aleph Pasuk Kaf Gimel to bury the bodies on the same day and not leave them overnight. We're told, Lo talin nivlato al etz, ki kavor tikverenu bayom ha'hu, ki kililat Elohim taloi, velo nitame et admatecha asher Adonai Elohecha noten lecha nachala. Ritzpah bat Ayah sat by the bodies of her two children and the other five so they would not be desecrated. Not a single word of hers is recorded. Her action of sitting by the body spoke loud enough. And it was a terrible tragedy that happened. The water rained on their bodies, and this was the first level of the end of the famine in the land. The rain on the bodies of the Shaul's seven descendants. And now we go to the second level of Kapara for Shaul. And it was told to David what Ritzpah bat Ayah, the concubine of Shaul, had done. And notice that David's actions are in response to Ritzpah's actions. Vayelech David vaykach et atzmot Shaul veet atzmot Yehonatan beno meet baalei yavesh Gilad asher ganevu otam merechov Bet Shan asher telaum shama pelishtim. Bayom hakot pelishtim et Shaul ba Gilboa. And David went and took the bones of Shaul and the bones of Yehonatan his son from the men of Yavesh Gilad, who had stolen them from the road of Bet Shan, where the pelishtim hung them, that we saw in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pesukim Yud Aleph through Yud Gimel, on the day that the pelishtim killed Shaul in Gilboa. The bones of Shaul and Yehonatan were still in Yavesh Gilad, on the eastern side of the Yarden, not given a proper burial, and they were not brought to their ancestral grave. And now they will be. Vaya'al misham et atzmot Shaul ve'et atzmot Yehonatan beno, vayasvu et atzmot hamuka'im. And he brought up from there the bones of Shaul and the bones of Yehonatan his son, and they gathered the bones of those that were hanged, these seven men. Vayikberu et atzmot Shaul v'Yehonatan beno be'eretz Binyamin betzela bekever Kish Aviv v'yasu kol asher siva hamelech v'yater Elohim la'aretz acharechen. And they buried the bones of Shaul and Yehonatan his son in the land of Benjamin in Selah, in the burial plot of Kish his father. And they performed everything the king commanded. And after that, God accepted the prayers for the land. David acted in response to the actions of Rizpah, Bat Ayah. He saw how she treated the bodies and then understood what he needed to do. This famine was because of what Shaul did to the Givonim in the time of David. David, too, was responsible. Although he commended the act of the men of Yavesh Gilad when he heard how they went all night to rescue the bodies of Shaul and his sons, he did not give Shaul a proper burial. Now he brought the bones of Shaul and his sons, together with the bodies of these seven that were hanged by the Givonim, to a proper burial in the land of Benjamin, in the burial plot of Kish. It was only after David's proper treatment of Shaul and his descendants that the second level of kapara happened and God blessed the land. Even after his death, we find God waiting for a respectable burial for Shaul, a burial that he was deserving of as king of Israel. This story probably happened soon after the death of Shaul. Its placement here in the outer frame of our appendix of Sefer Shmuel is about the sin of Shaul and one of David, both that needed fixing. These sins were connected to promises. Shaul broke the promise of that Yehoshua made with the Givonim hundreds of years earlier, and David needed to keep the promise that he made with Yehonatan. In Shmuel Aleph, Perek Kaf, Pasuk Yud Dalet, he told him he would take care of him and his descendants even after his death. This phrase of God forgiving the land because of David's actions will actually be repeated in the final Pasuk of Sefer Shmuel. If you wanted to go take a quick look at the last Pasuk of Sefer Shmuel, it has this same words, Vayeater Adonai la'aretz vate'atzer hamagefa me'al Yisrael. These bookends about the sins of Shaul and David form the outer frame of our six units in our epilogue of Sefer Shmuel. The rest of the perek contains the second unit of our concluding perakim, all about David's warriors. This unit highlights four of David's warriors who held a special status because of their bravery in killing the four sons of the Pelishti giant. This happens in four different battles. Pesukim Tetvav through Yudzayin, we have the first battle. Vatihi od milchama lepilishtim et Yisrael. Vayered David ve'avadav imo vayilachamu et pilishtim vayaf David. And there was another battle of the Pelishtim with Yisrael, and David went down and his servants with him, and they fought the Pelishtim, and David became tired. This pasuk begins with another battle of the Pelishtim with Yisrael. We're going to see that each of these four battles is a one-on-one, a man from Yisrael fighting one Pelishti giant. So it's possible that this is connecting us to the story of David and Goliath. We'll see that as we go on. V'yishvi v'novasher b'lidei harafa u'mishkal keno shelosh me'ot mishkal nechoshet v'hu chagur chadasha v'yomer lehakot et David. And Yishvi v'nov, who was the son of the giant, whose weight of his spear was 300 shekels of brass, and he was wearing new armor. He thought to kill David. This giant, with his armor and spear, is reminiscent of Goliath. He wanted to kill David when he was tired. Vayazor lo Avishai ben Siruya, vayach et hapelishti vayamitehu. Az nishbe'u anshe David lo lemor, lo tetze od itanu lemelchama, velo techabe et ner Yisrael. And Avishai ben Siruya, we know who's the brother of Yoav, helped him, and struck the Pelishti and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, "You will no longer go out with us to war so you don't extinguish the lamp of Israel." Avishai saved David, and his men decided that he should no longer go out to war with them. This is the same command that they gave David in the war against Avshalom. They were concerned for David's safety. The next section is one pasuk long, pasuk chet. We have the second battle. Vayi acharechen, vayi tehi od hamelchama begov im pelishtim. אז היכה סבכי החושתי את סף אשר בלידי הרפה. And it was after this, there was another war in Gov with the Pelishtim. Then Sibechai Hachushati killed Saf, who was of the sons of the giant. Here we have another son of the giant that was killed in this war. And the next war is in Pasuk Yutet, we have the third battle. Vatihi od hamilchama begov im Pelishtim vayach Elchanan ben Ya'iri Oregim Bet Halachmi Et Goliat Hagiti Ve'et Chanito Kemenor Oregim. And there was another war with the Pelishtim in Gov, and Elchanan, the son of Ya'iri Oregim from Bet Lechem, killed Goliat Hagiti, and the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. It's strange that we have Goliath being killed here by Elchanan. If we look in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, Aleph, Perek Kaf Pasuk Hei, we see that it's really Lachmi, the brother of Goliath, who carried a spear just like him, and he was killed by Elchanan. So here we're saying that it was the brother of Goliath who was killed, but in our Pasuk here in Sefer Shmuel, it's bringing us back to Goliath. ותהי עוד מלחמה בגת, והיהי איש מדון, ואצבעות ידיו ואצבעות רגליו, שש ושש, 24 מספר, וגם הוא יולד להרפה. And there was another war in Gat, and there was a man of great height, and the fingers on his hands and toes on his feet were 6 and 6, 24 in total. So we're saying 12 fingers and 12 toes. He too was born to the giant. Vayecharef et Israel, vayakehu Yehonatan ben Shim'a achi David. And he taunted Israel, vayecharef et Israel. This also sounds like Goliath. And Yehonatan ben Shim'a, David's brother, killed him. So it's Yehonatan, the son of David's brother. David's brother Shim'a had a son, Yehonatan, who killed this giant. Okay. We also saw another son of Shim'a. We met him, his name was Yonadav, and he's the one who told Amnon to fake sick so in order to have Tamar come spend time with him. Et arba'at ele yuledu leharafa begat, vayipelu beyad David uviyad avadav. These four were born to the giant in Gat, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. These four battles against the Pelishtim bring us back to David's first military experience when he fought a one-on-one battle against Goliath. There he gave honor to the name of God in battle. And in the next perek, Shidat David, David gives honor to God through words. That will be Shirat David will be the first of the center two units of the closing chapters of Sefer Shmuel.